University of Oriental Studies, Embassy Auditorium, September 22, 1979.
Anate, ane da kelo namba su che, ane lup chi che, ane kelo namba su che, ane chogo namba su hanja ya shuya la.
Members of the Sangha, members of the faculty, and students.
Ane anta tohon de, kyan zui ma de, kaso ripuge, gasu na anta chepji, ane,
I would like to thank you very much for giving me such a warm welcome and also for conferring on me this degree.
And under the chance number two quality.
I noticed that there are studies in Buddhism being conducted and that there are many who are interested or showing interest in these courses.
So now I will try to speak through my own English. So now the basic teaching of Buddha, the main theme or main point is the altruism based on compassion, love. This is, you see, most important point. And now for this, I think something very important for our, you see, daily life. And also that point is something common for all different religions. You see, there are different philosophical explanations or different theories and viewpoint. But on the compassion or love, brotherhood, sisterhood, this sort of, you see, feeling, on that level, all religion more or less the same, same practice. And also that feeling of compassion, between believer and non-believer, in both cases, everybody share, feel the value of love. Since we human being, you see, from childhood, when we are, small one, we are very much dependent on the kindness of parent. Without a parent's kindness, it is difficult to survive. Now, when we become very old age, again we are very much need the kindness of other. We are very much depend on the other's kindness. So now, between these two, you see, small age and the old age, between the two, we feel we are quite independent. So we are, no need to depend on other, so we feel no need to kindness of other. And we ourselves do not much emphasis or do not much look where. We ourselves not much practice on kindness. Now this is wrong. I feel the kindness, the compassion is very important. If you feel, if you try, practice that feeling, then you yourself feels much more happier, Internally, if you have these practice, internally you feel more calm, more peace. At the same time, the other people also share that feeling. Through anger, peace, very difficult. Through anger, real friendship, impossible. Through anger, real trust, impossible. Through love, we can develop the understand, unity, friendship, harmony. All these things will come through love, through kindness. So you see, this is something most important thing, something very gracious or very precious thing. So we human being, we have, you see, the sophisticated brain. At the same time, we have some potential to grow or to develop this sort of, you see, kindness in our heart. So as a result of good brain, we develop many material progress. At the same time, with our good heart, if we balance the external develop as well as internal develop, you see, balance, then we can utilize the material development in the right sense. We enjoy the material progress, at the same time we may not lose the human value. So now I am going to say something about the how to practice the compassion or the altruism. Now I will now because my English very limited, I am going to say in Tibetan and will translate. Okay.
There are two types within the modes of practicing or developing a good mind. Now one can be said to be or could be treated within the context of persons not having to believe too much in rebirth. Now, both self and other, in all respects, equally want happiness and do not want suffering. And both self and other equally have the right to achieve happiness and to get rid of suffering. Now, then what is the difference, since they're the same in all these, since self and other are the same in all these respects, what is the difference? Self is only one, whereas others are limitless in number. Now, from the democratic point of view, the majority is more important and the minority less important. Thus, between self and other, other is much more important. For instance, there is a practice of deity yoga, and it can be beneficial, but if one is not fully qualified to do it, then it is not so helpful.
and that day, Naranzo does imagination chida. Shachil soso, per selfish shira yoding, soso shachilisha. Semjan shendazo shachilisha. Soso di gite, unbiased chin, sur never chigite, imagination chida.
So now instead of doing that, let's imagine that on this side is your selfish self, and that on the other side are all other sentient beings, and then in the middle is your own unbiased mind. Now, and then you should look, let's see, both self and other are equally want happiness and don't want suffering. Self and other equally have the right to gain happiness and get rid of suffering. Now consider which between these two, self and the others, is more important. And if you look at this with an unbiased mind, you will naturally feel that the achievement of happiness for others is much more important than for oneself. Even if you consider this from the point of view of seeking your own welfare, when one does this within the attitude of cherishing oneself and neglecting others, no matter what one tries to do for oneself, one only loses out. However, when you cherish others, have an attitude of cherishing others, and neglect your own welfare, even though that is your motivation, as you have this motivation, you will along the way achieve your own welfare better than you could in any other way. Similarly, if you consider all the problems that there are in the world, these come because of self-cherishing.
Individual thani yine re, nation thali yine re, kabat tabi yine, rang jinzi kholu chun day yundu, nyakru mangu shi shi
Whether you consider individuals or nations, all of the problems of the world come from this self-cherishing.
Shen jeban zini, jidun samun tamba yina, zambul ni digang ngona thani yin, daybe, lida, nyanda jen tisu tati, kandas nyanda chumbar silamna, shen dun maang samun tamba nyelingi chungde yale.
However, if you consider the great leaders of the past, the leaders of the world in the past, they were all people who cherished others more than themselves. Now, indeed, in general, in society, it's necessary for us all to depend on each other. Now, if the case is that we must depend on each other, then what's the point in our hating each other? If we live within loving each other and being kind to each other, then even if we don't achieve our aims, what regret is there? But if we stay with bad thoughts for each other, even if we do get a little bit of comfort, we're left with a guilty conscience. Therefore, it's not necessary to talk about rebirth and so forth. We can just consider the general nature of society. Therefore, altruism, a cherishing of others, is very important throughout all of one's lifetime. Now, for people who do accept that there are former and future
rebirths,
there are techniques for generating this altruistic attitude. The first is to notice that within our own minds we have categories of others, some being friends, others being neutral, and others being enemies. And we have three different attitudes toward them, one of attachment or desire, another of neutrality, and another of hatred. Now, when we generate minds of attachment, hatred, or indifference, it's impossible to generate an altruistic attitude. Therefore, it is important first to equalize this desire, hatred, and indifference. Since our births are beginningless and there's no limit to the number, then those who are our friends now were our enemies in the past, and those who are our enemies now were friends in the past. And even in terms of this one lifetime, there are persons who early on in one's life are friends who turn into enemies later on, and others who are enemies earlier on and become friends later. Thus, there's no point in one pointedly considering a certain person to be just a friend or considering another person just to be an enemy. When you contemplate in this manner, then the one-pointed apprehension of some as friends and some as enemies will become weaker in strength. And then the next step is to consider that since everyone's births have been beginningless or limitless in number, then every single person has been your best of friends, parent or whatever. And when they were your parents, the best of all friends, they protected you with kindness, just as your parents of this lifetime have. Just as there's no difference in the fact that people have been kind to oneself, whether they were kind to you recently or kind to you a while ago, so all beings have equally shown kindness to oneself in this lifetime or in other lifetimes. Then it's taking this as your basis, it's possible slowly to develop a mind or an attitude of considering all sentient beings to be friends.
Tene, nyendu kyubi niga gu tindi di mato sam tamba yina, shira tin shimbore.
Then you can consider the kindness that they individually afforded to you when they were your parents. And even when others were not your parents, they were very kind to you. Even if you consider it in detail or in depth, people who are, seem to be your enemies now are, have been, and, have, and are harming you are being very kind to you.
Because, you see, they, I mean, through, also with enemy, you can learn real tolerance. Through teacher, or your guru, or, I mean, your teacher, I mean, religious teacher, or your parent, cannot test or cannot experiment on your inner strength of tolerance. Only through enemy's activity, you can learn what is your real inner strength or tolerance. So from that viewpoint, the enemy is real your teacher. So from that,
therefore, instead of getting angry at your enemies, you should think to repay their kindness. Once they have been so kind, it's necessary to repay their kindness. If one didn't repay it, it would be very unsuitable. So the next step is to generate a sense of love, wishing for the happiness of all sentient beings, wishing that they have, wishing that whereas they are bereft of happiness, they may have happiness in all of its causes. As much as you view sentient beings with love as being pleasant, so much will you generate a sense of compassion, a wish that they be free from suffering and its causes. Then the next step, having generated love and compassion, is to extend this beyond just the thought how nice it would be if they were free from suffering and its causes to, I will cause them to be free from suffering and its causes. This high intention will cause one to have great courage to take on this great burden. When you develop this strength of mind, as great as the hardships are, so much greater will come your sense of determination and courage. Therefore, it is the case not only amongst the practitioners of Dharma, but also other people that that courage is very important.
Nam yu anda sayadi, there is way sayadi, moto tambare. Simshu yana langa tende nyi.
The saying, where there is a will, there is a way, is indeed true. When we get into a difficult situation, if our courage or will lessens, then we can accomplish nothing. Therefore, it is important to generate as much, what do you say, courage that corresponds to the size of the difficulties.
So that dinne simshu kene ta shendu duyale ya ta chigdo ni shengi tyon duyale ya ga so re lo sang bu kya dile yu ya re tan nangbe na zu nangbe da address in bet bu ta shu de kende je sle na che de jaw sim jen zu che de mi ni in sang ji go ba ton de ni ya lo de la chang ju ji sim si ya ta sim sang bu ta tu go de.
Now the best of all altruistic attitudes within Buddhism is to seek to gain the highest enlightenment of a Buddha in order to help other sentient beings. This is called the altruistic mind of enlightenment. This is the mode of generating the altruistic mind of enlightenment. Now, in order to develop this attitude into limitless strength, it is necessary to conjoin this type of meditation with the development of wisdom. Now, with regard to developing wisdom, there are many different types of wisdom, starting with the wisdom realizing impermanence, the wisdom realizing suffering, the wisdom realizing emptiness. And then within emptiness, there are many different types, some coarser and some more subtle. Now, I'm not going to go into detail here. Now, in order to develop such wisdom, it's necessary to have firm meditative stabilization. Now, it's difficult for our mind in the state that it's in now, being so distracted, for it to perceive the deep nature of phenomena.
And
therefore, it's necessary to develop one's mind so that the mind can abide one-pointedly and steadily on an object. There are many different ways of developing meditative stabilization, some being with an external object, some being to reflect only on an internal object. And within this, some practices involve deity yoga. The achievement of a steady mind in the long run will serve as a basis for development for higher qualities, and in the short run will make one's mind much more alert. Therefore, in the morning, try this out. Collect your mind, gather your mind inward, not in the sense of falling to sleep, but within great alertness, and then see if this makes your mind more alert throughout the day. Your memory will also improve. And as your memory improves, gradually you can develop clairvoyance because it's due to an increase of mindfulness. Thus, if daily and frequently you are able to do a little meditation so as to withdraw this very scattered mind, it's very helpful. And in another way, it's like a vacation for your thought. This conceptual mind that's running off thinking on these good things and bad things and so forth and so on, to give it a little vacation, to just set in a little non-conceptuality and have a rest. Thus the root of the Bodhisattva vehicle, the root of the practice of the Bodhisattva vehicle is meditative stabilization, wisdom, and this altruistic mind of enlightenment that has as its root love and compassion. Now, when this altruistic attitude is transformed into deeds, there are then the actions, there are then the six perfections. Giving, ethics, patience.
Tape ends. It seems the rest was not recorded.